last several weeks, we've been talking about getting into the presence of the Lord. Have you been faithful to Pastor Tim's 30-minute challenge? Been crucifying the flesh, right? Seeking the Lord's presence here in 2015. It is going to be a greater move of God's presence this year. We're already 1 month complete in 2015 already. It's going to go fast. Let's make sure that we are a disciplined church that puts first things first, and that is the presence of the Lord. Amen. And I've been teaching on this, since the beginning of the year, and we've looked at several principles of how to get in to the presence of the Lord. I can tell you, if you are a believer, yet life has seemingly been just one set of frustrations after another, I can tell you it has something to do with not getting into God's presence. Because in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. And in His presence, you will be fully cared for. That is why we are designed and made to get into and to live in the presence of God. Amen. And our lives will wither when we spend extended times outside of God's presence. Right. Things will get frustrating. We called it the Adam syndrome. Remember, what is the number one thing that Adam lost in the Garden of Eden? He lost God's presence. Yes. Then the curse came upon him, remember? And it said that the earth will bear thorns and thistles and sweat and sorrow and all the things that were frustrating to Adam. And that is because he left God's presence.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, we in the New Testament, we can live permanently. We can dwell in the presence of God.
Amen.
Amen. And we talked about the principles of how to cooperate with the presence of God. Number one is faith. When we come to God, we must know and believe what He is.
Yes.
Remember how I challenged you to make a list of all the things that God is? And when you get into prayer, you tell Him what He is.
Yes.
God is Savior. God is healer. God is protector. God is. God is. God is.
Amen.
And that will increase your proficiency in the presence of God. You will step into a greater flow. Remember Enoch? Remember how he stepped over into God's presence? And it tells us that Enoch pleased God because he continually came to God and he believed what God is.
That's right.
God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek. So we took a look at faith, and faith is always the flow of God's presence. And then the second thing we looked at is crucifying the flesh, putting your flesh under, taking time to pray. All right? Taking time to maybe reduce some of your natural appetites, right? The flesh must be put under so the spirit will grow.
That's right.
Right? The third thing we looked at, we talked about last week, is praise.
Yes.
Praise your way into the supernatural.
Amen.
Amen. Enter into his courts with thanksgiving, or his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. And we took a look at that. And we took a look at all the instances in the Bible where the supernatural presence of God moved in because the people all praised him, right? Psalm 67, verse 5, let the people praise thee, O Lord. Let all the people praise thee. Then the earth will yield her increase. And even our God shall bless us, right? And the people of the earth will fear him. And we talked about two harvests as a result of praising, a harvest of souls and a harvest of finances. Glory to God. Right? We took a look over there, Psalm 35, 27. Let them shout for joy and be glad, those that favor my righteous cause. If you won't praise, if you won't rejoice, you don't favor God's righteous cause.
Yeah.
Right? Psalm 5, 11. Let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice.
Amen.
Yeah. See, rejoicing and praising is a matter of faith in trusting God.
Yeah.
Amen. We saw over there in 1 Peter chapter 1, right around the 8th and 9th verse, it says, though you've never seen Jesus, yet you love him, rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory, receiving the end of your faith.
Yes, that's right.
If we love him, if we trust him, we will rejoice.
Yes.
Amen. And so we talked about that, getting into the presence of God. Now today we're going to talk about the fourth aspect of getting into God's presence, and that is unity. 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 When I speak of unity, this unity, I'm talking about the corporate anointing.
Good.
I'm talking about the corporate church. I'm not necessarily preaching about every church, denomination, and group having to believe the same thing or do the same thing. Obviously, that's not going to happen, so to speak. Not every church group is going to believe the same exact thing. Not every church group is called to do the same thing. I'm talking within a single church family. We are all to come to this meeting place in an atmosphere of unity.
Amen.
How many of you want to see God do the miraculous in our midst? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, that looked like most of us. Good job.
Amen.
Well, God only does those things in an atmosphere of unity. Go to Psalm 133. You know where I'm going with this. And then we're going to move along here in the different aspects of unity. Verse 1, Psalm 133. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Glory to God. How good and pleasant. And if God is calling it good and pleasant, it must be really good. Because His definition of good is a lot better than your definition of good. His definition of pleasant is much better than your definition of pleasant. Now, look at the next verse. It says, it is like. What is it? Unity. All the brethren dwelling together in unity. And the Bible tells us what unity is. It is same heart, same mind, same purpose. Same heart, same mind, same purpose. Yeah. A church is not a gathering of a bunch of different purposes. A church is a gathering of a bunch of different purposes who lay them down to follow one purpose. Amen. I am not here today with my agenda. I am not here today with my plan. I am here today with God's plan. I'm not here to exalt my plan over your plans. You know? I don't have an agenda of why I'm here in church other than to submit to God's plan. What is God doing in this church family? What does He want us to come together and complete a purpose? Well, we know first and foremost we preach and teach the Word of God, right? To reach souls for salvation in the kingdom of God. Two, to flow in the Holy Ghost, that He may manifest His presence in our midst. And thirdly, to fulfill the mandate on our church family, which is to plant local churches in communities because God's heart is in the local church.
Yes. Yes.
Praise the Lord. Praise God for the crusades that fill stadiums. Praise the Lord for the Billy Grahams and praise the Lord for those Reinhard Bonnkes and those other men and women that serve God that have filled stadiums and seen thousands and millions of souls being saved. Wonderful. But how many of you know that is a very small percentage of what God is doing on a consistent, regular basis?
Right.
Consistently and regularly, God moves the most in the local church.
Yes.
And that mandate is on this church family.
Amen.
To participate together to plant other church locations.
Yes. Yes.
I want to be a part of that. That wasn't my plan, my idea. I submit to that plan. So we're not all coming together for our own plans and purposes. We come here. Listen, people say, well, I'm coming here that my marriage will be restored. Or I'm coming to church so that my body get healed. I come to church so I can have this situation turned around. Or I could, you know, God could bless me in a promotion or whatever. All those things are just the peripheral. All those things are the result of you being submitted to the primary plan first. My primary plan here is not to have my marriage blessed. My primary plan is not to have my finances blessed. My primary plan to be in church is to know the Lord and to submit to His will. Glory to God. Amen. So unity is one heart, one mind, same purpose. Right?
That's right.
Glory to the Lord. You know, when you make God the focus, when you get into God's presence, everything else is going to be taken care of.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't He say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you?
Yes.
Yeah, it'll be added to you.
Yes.
Just make Him first.
That's right.
See, money is not the bullseye.
No.
Not even close.
Yeah.
Your marriage is not the bullseye. Your job is not the bullseye. Your kids is not the bullseye. Those are the outer rings of the target.
Yes.
The bullseye is God's will.
Yes. Amen.
My goal in life is to have His ways,
yes.
His wisdom.
Yes.
Right? Wisdom before wealth, character before cash.
Always.
Glory to God. One heart, one purpose. Amen.
Amen.
Now he says, in verse 2, he says, it, unity, is like the precious ointment. It's like this. So this is what unity does. This is how it works. It's like the precious ointment upon the head, praise the Lord, that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard. I was hoping it said Pastor Tim's beard, but I guess it didn't. Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments. I'm glad I don't have to wear a skirt like Aaron did. Glory to God. As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Wow. Wow, this is a really huge statement. Verse 2, unity, one heart, one mind, one purpose, is like precious ointment. Glory to God. Precious ointment. This is a symbol or representation of the anointing. When brethren come together in unity, the Bible says there is a precious anointing. That word ointment is the same Hebrew word for anointing. There is a special anointing that is here, and it's the only time you get this kind of anointing is when the brethren come together and dwell in unity. This is what we call the corporate anointing. If you've never heard of that term, here's what we're talking about. The anointing of God that comes on to bless a gathered, unified group that are submitted to His will, I might add. Amen. There is a precious ointment. Now, if you study the Bible and all the ointments that are mentioned, there are several. There are ointments that are considered perfume. Remember how the woman with the alabaster box anointed Jesus' feet with precious ointment?
Yes.
Or if you have a more modern translation, it says perfume or a fragrance. Yeah, it was sweet-smelling ointment.
Right.
There's also ointments in the Bible, such as myrrh, that was used for healing applications.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, praise the Lord. When God's anointing comes in a service, there's nothing it can't do.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, the corporate anointing is the strongest anointing in the body of Christ. Do you know and understand that? That this anointing that you're getting, you won't find it at home. You can't duplicate it on TV. You can't get it through a radio preacher. It can only happen when we are together and when we're together in unity. With a one heart, one mind, right? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now it says it's like the precious anointing upon the head. Remember, and it's talking about Aaron. Now, here's some theology for you, or some Bible history for you. Who was Aaron? Aaron was the first what? High priest. He was also the brother of Moses. Okay. He was the first of the high priests that God ever chose. Now remember back then when the anointing of God was on a priest or on a king or a prophet. Remember what they would do to anoint that man to stand in that office? They would take a jug of oil, not little hand, you know, not little fingerprints and beep, 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 nothing like that. They would take a jug of oil and they would pour it over the top of their head. And that oil wouldn't just stream down. It was so thick and heavy, it would coat. It would completely cover that individual. And it's giving us that kind of a very detailed picture of it running down over Aaron's head and over his face and dripping off his beard and so thick and so much of it that it went down over his clothes, even to the very bottom of the skirts of his garments, right? And when that oil was poured over the head of an individual, that was the sign and the token that that person was chosen by God. Chosen by God. When we come together in unity, we are a chosen entity or an organism that is chosen for the presence and purpose of God. Hallelujah. There is purpose when we come together. There is things that can be accomplished when we come together. Notice what it is. It is a covering. That was not only a sign that they were chosen, they were holy before God, and they were also protected. Remember what David said when Saul was trying to kill him? Remember, Saul was the king that had turned evil, and David was the chosen king who was going to take Saul's place. And Saul got jealous and tried to kill David. And David had a chance in the cave to take Saul out. And all of David's men said, "Kill him! What are you doing? This is your chance." And David came out. He said, "Lest I ever lift my hand against the Lord's anointed." Anointing by God was a symbol of protection. It was a symbol that you don't mess with what God has blessed. Yeah. Remember when Balak tried to get Balaam to put a curse on the children of Israel? And remember what was said? You can't curse that which God has blessed.
That's right.
Oh, glory to God. You couldn't come against God's anointed. Yeah. Think about this corporate anointing. This is what it's like when brethren come together in unity. You are chosen for a purpose.
Yes.
It's easy for people to say, well, the pastor's chosen for the purpose. No, we all together are chosen for the purpose of planting these churches and reaching these communities. Glory to God. We all come together when we dwell in this unity. There's protection in it for us. There is a covering or a shield. See, this is what Christians don't get who don't have a good Bible teaching local church.
That's it.
Or Christians that just show up to church and ho-hum, let's get this over with, let's wait till noon. Listen, just because you're here doesn't mean you're unified. Yeah, just because you're here does not mean that you are participating. When we all get moving the same way, glory to God. It's like God says, I've chosen you as a corporate body. I've protected you as a corporate body. 2 Thessalonians 1:6, God finds it a righteous thing to trouble them that trouble you. Do you know the Bible says that? In the New Testament, God says he'll trouble those, or he'll withstand those that try to bring trouble against you. Oh, that's why I knew that when this building was getting built and all the, you know, the politicians and, you know, certain individuals in the community, you know, lawyers and such, you know, tried to resist, tried to stop this building from being built. And I thought to myself, I said, dear God, they better not. God finds it a righteous thing. Don't mess with me. Don't mess with you.
That's right.
Say, oh my goodness, Pastor thinks. No, I'm saying that God will defend his people.
Amen.
He will. Right? What does it say over there in Isaiah 41:10? It says, fear thou not, be thou not dismayed, for the Lord, he is your God. He will uphold thee with the right hand of his righteousness. He'll help thee. He'll sustain thee. I have it all kind of mixed up, jumbled together. And it says, and those that be incensed against thee shall perish.
That's right.
It says, you don't want to be a person that comes against God's people. You don't want to come against an organization or a group, a corporate body that is moving in the direction of God. You don't. You don't want to move against the individual that is in a local church who's moving in that flow and unified with their church body. Why? Because they're covered. They're chosen. They're anointed. Don't raise your hand against the Lord's anointing. You have to understand, when you're part of a local church, when you're moving in the direction, you know, when you're unified, you're coming in, you're praising with all of us, you're rejoicing with all of us, you're moving in that same flow, you are protected, you are chosen.
Amen.
Glory to God. See, that's the problem with most of God's people. They don't see themselves as the anointed of the Lord. I am anointed. You are anointed. You are set apart for the holy purposes of God.
That's right.
You are covered by the corporate blessing.
Yes.
Just like was poured upon Aaron.
Amen. That's good.
Hallelujah. And it says this in verse 3. It says, as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. He said, it's just like the blessing that he put on Mount Zion. Do you realize what the Bible talks about Mount Zion? Mount Zion is both literal and it's also a representation of God's seat or throne in heaven.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. When the Bible says that when the Lord returns, he is coming back to Mount Zion. Yeah. Yeah, amen.
Right.
We have to understand. He said, it is like Mount Zion. It is chosen. It is holy for God's intended future purposes. It is a heavy statement that it says this is the kind of blessing that is in our midst when we gather in unity.
Amen.
We gather in unity.
That's right.
Glory to God. Thank you, Pastor Tim. You're helping us today. See, at this point, this is where you say in your heart, I'm going to jump in. I need to be connected. I need to participate with the church family. Amen. Because God says, hey, I've commanded blessing. So you're chosen, you're protected, and you're blessed.
Yes, that's right.
I mean, I would say, I know for a fact, I mean, the difference of my life before I had a local church and the difference of my life after I had a local church is indescribably different. It is night and day difference. My life, you know, as I'm blessed in the local body, as I participate in the local body, how do you get unified with your local church? It starts in a service just like this. You actually are willing to praise. You are willing to shout. You are willing to rejoice. Oh, glory to God. What is Mount Zion? It is a place of God's presence. If you study that out, Mount Zion was the place that God said he has reserved his presence forevermore. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. So now let's talk about some different aspects of unity. Well, number one, I just said it, praise and worship. Listen, it is, we looked at this verse last week over there in Psalm 33:1, that praise is appropriate for the upright.
Yes,
all right? It should not be when we come to the local church that there's just sections that are more praising than others. Or the first couple of rows pray more, you know, praise more than the whole thing. No, listen. From this pulpit to that back door, when we're having church, we are all engaged. We are all praising. We're all lifting our hands. We're all rejoicing. Glory to God. Amen. We talked about that the last week or so I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time with it. Go with me to Acts chapter 4. Hallelujah. Here is why we get into unity. Here is what we contend for. I'll tell you what we contend for together. We contend for the miraculous.
Yeah, amen.
Miracles, signs, and wonders. Listen, if you think you're just in the day where the only move of God is preaching and teaching, you're wrong. Do you understand that? If all church ever is just preaching and teaching. Now, that's first and foremost. But it is not all that God wants to do in our midst. He wants to do something. There was something that the early church, they knew and they understood. Go back here to Acts chapter 4. Now we're going to start in verse 23. Glory to God. This is what the early church did. Amen. You know what? Before we get to Acts chapter 4, why don't we just start over in Acts chapter 2? Since we're talking about unity. Yeah. Let's watch how the precious ointment came into this place. Acts 2:1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all, everyone say all, with one accord in one place. They all believed the same thing. They were moving the same way. Now remember, there was 120 individuals in this room that were in unity. And you know what's about to happen here. Okay, there's more than 120 of us in this room right now.
Right.
A lot more than that. Think about what is available, what the potential is when you get hundreds of God's people together in complete unity. Listen, you didn't think you had a responsibility when you came in here? You're just here to attend? No, no, no. You have a responsibility. Glory to God. You have a ministry here today. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly, heaven responded.
Yes, there you go.
Suddenly, heaven couldn't ignore it.
Yeah.
Suddenly, heaven's attention was gained. Yeah.
Right.
Suddenly, heaven had to invade that room.
Yes. Very good.
Suddenly, people had to be blessed.
Yeah.
They had to be protected.
Yeah.
They had to be filled.
Yeah.
Suddenly, there came a sound from heaven. Glory to God. Why? Because sounds from heaven respond to the sounds on earth.
Yeah, that's right.
They were one in place, one accord. And you're going to see in chapter 4 what they were saying and stuff. Heaven heard their voices. Heaven responded. They were all praising. They were all worshiping. They were all glorifying. Heaven heard it.
Yes, glory to God.
The precious ointment. You know, the Bible says over there, in Ephesians 5:1, it says, be imitators of God as dear beloved children. In verse 2, walk in love as Christ walked in love, and it became a sweet-smelling savor, a sweet-smelling sacrifice before the Lord. Do you realize that what we say and how we praise literally becomes a fragrance to God?
That's right. Amen.
So, well, I don't know and understand that. Listen, you don't have to know and understand it. All I know is the Bible tells me that when we all praise together, a sacrifice of sweet fragrance comes up before God and it gets his attention.
Amen.
Have you ever come into a house and something good is cooking on the stove? You know, and before you weren't even thinking about food. You didn't have any intentions about food, but you walked in and said, something smells good. I want some of that. All of a sudden it got your attention and now you moved a direction. You move towards the fragrance. You move towards the feeding. Yeah. In the same way, when a God's sitting on his throne, all of a sudden, that smells like praise. That smells like worship. That smells good. I think I want some of that. I got to go over there and get closer to that place where it's coming from. I say this, that we should be filling God's nostrils every time Family Church gets together. Glory to God. Yeah, amen. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. See, or you could say it this way. And suddenly someone's body was healed.
Yeah, sure.
Suddenly a need was met.
Sure.
Yeah.
Amen.
See, this should be a place, a landing pad for suddenlies in our lives.
Yeah, sure. Good.
You know, there should be testimonies all the time. You know, so, my goodness, I was just praising and worshiping in that service. And suddenly that depression was broken off me.
Yeah.
Suddenly that sadness was destroyed. Suddenly that yoke or that burden of that thing trying my life was broken.
Yeah. That's right. Amen.
Suddenly.
Yeah.
You know, the world has 12-step programs. You know, if you do these 12 steps, you're going to become alcohol-free. I can tell you what, no, you won't. And not unless there's an involvement of the Word of God in there.
That's it.
You know, or if you do this, get free of this. 12-step program. Well, you know, they're drawing it out. But see, with God, it's a suddenly.
Yes.
Suddenly. Glory to God. It says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, because he heard the sounds on earth, as of a rushing mighty wind, it filled all the house where they were sitting. Yes. A filled house. A filled house.
Yeah.
And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. It sat upon each of them. Every single one was participating. Therefore, every single one got visited.
Yeah. Very good.
Glory to God. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They all were. All of them, 120. But I thought we could only, 120, we're filled, and they all began to speak with other tongues. I'm glad it was God's will for every single one of them in the room. And not just a few of them. Like people say, well, that's good for somebody, but not all. No, the Bible says he filled them all. Well, that was just the apostles. No, there were more than just the apostles there. You know who was in that room that day? Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there in that day. Yep, Mary, the mother of Jesus, a tongue talker. That's right. Well, maybe that's the laser beams coming out of her hands in those pictures I've seen. I don't know. I'm not saying that to be disrespectful. You know, that she's depicted as a woman of power, not in the way that maybe the Catholics or someone recognize it. She's not to be worshipped. That's wrong. And I'm not dissing Catholics. I'm just saying that doctrine is wrong. You know, but she was a woman of power. She was filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues. That'll just upset your theology. Glory to God. Suddenly, because why? They were all with one place, one accord, and the day could fully come. See, a lot of the church is not seeing the fullness of God because not all the church is unified like they were. Go over to Acts chapter 4. We'll see how they maintained this. This is the early church. In Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, in the verses that we just read, that was the day the church was born. The church was born with power and miracles. The church, the plan for the church was never to change. There was no expiration date on these scriptures. The church, as long as the church is on this earth, it is to be an institution of God's power, of God's unity, of His precious ointment and covering and protection. The miraculous.
That's right. Amen.
Yeah. Yep. That is why, listen, know this. You wonder why you come to family church and we don't put on the show.
Yeah.
We don't put on the laser light show. Yeah. We don't put on, you know, the make it look like a dance club in here. We don't sing songs that could just be misconstrued. I mean, so many what people are calling praise and worship songs today, you turn on the Christian radio station and it sounds more like boyfriend music. You know what I mean by that? You could just as easily take that song and make it, it sounds like it's just singing to your boyfriend or girlfriend or something. It just, there's, you wouldn't know it. It's not exalting Jesus. It's not talking about His name and His power. That's why when you come to church here, we have anointed praise and worship leaders that we sing about God's power and His almighty nature. And there's healing in His name and there's deliverance in His name. We talk about Him and what He does. You know? Because never forget this, the more man puts on a show, the less God will put on a show. If mankind tries to put on a show with all the gizmos and gadgets, the less God will put on a show. Nothing wrong with having technology, nothing wrong with being excellent, okay? But listen, the more we put on a show, then God won't. I'm not looking for the show of man. I want the show of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't want people to come in and be won over through the moving lights and the boobity-oo. I mean, that's how the dance club got me to go there when I didn't know Jesus. I'd go in, I'd look at those lasers and be, oh, that's so cool. And they're just they're trying to win people because they've lost the power. And so they've had to fabricate their own. Don't want to do that. When people walk in through these doors, they're going to have an encounter with the Almighty God. The miracle working power of God, the convicting power of the Holy Ghost, a changed life through the power of the Word. Amen. Go to Acts chapter 4 and verse 23. This is after John and Peter had been persecuted, beaten up for preaching in the name of Jesus. And it says, and being let go, John and Peter went to their own company. Isn't that interesting? Their own company. They stuck close to those that they believed. They had like precious faith. They believed like they did. They went to the place of one purpose and one mind and one heart. Amen. Listen, I'll tell you what. You know, when the world tries to beat on you and to hold you down, where are you going to go? Your own company. Amen. Glory to God. And they reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. Remember, they had strictly threatened them not to preach about Jesus anymore. And when they heard that, now this is all of them there. There's hundreds of them there at this point. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Yeah, let me just summarize that up. They said, Lord, look what they said. Look at the threatenings. Look at the trial. And the first thing they do is say, but you are God who made the heavens and the earth. You made the oceans and everything in it. They started glorifying God. They said, why did the heathen rage and imagine to do these vain things? Basically, they're saying no matter what the government tries to tell us, no matter who tries to stop us, glory to God. Now remember, they all are saying this. I love it. And then they come to this point in verse 29. Look what they are all saying together. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. I love that. You know, remember when I taught about how Hezekiah brought the threatenings of Rabshakeh before God? So look what they said. And now here we see the church doing the same thing. Lord, look what the chief priests, the rulers of Israel, the rulers of the Roman Empire, look what they said. They threatened us. I love it. I love it. And now, Lord, behold the threatenings. Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. Glory to God. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. They all cried out, said, now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they will speak your word, that signs and wonders, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders be done in the name of your holy child Jesus. This is the early church.
That's right.
Notice the focus on it. It said, grant boldness that we speak your word, stretch forth your hand to heal, and that signs and the miraculous would be done in our midst. That is what is going to make corrupt politicians nervous. That is what a corrupt world that hates God needs to see. And this is what the people that are truly hungry in their heart for the Lord, they need to see the God that answers by fire. They need to see that God's hand is a merciful hand, it is a healing hand, it is a powerful hand, and it is a miraculous hand.
Amen.
He said, but you have to grant boldness to your servants.
Right.
Because if God's going to stretch forth his hand to heal, we are his hands to heal.
Sure. That's right.
You understand that?
Yes.
Now remember, they were all saying this together.
Yes.
It is not going to happen in our midst if one person's over here saying, I just don't believe in miracles. I just don't believe that. I won't go that way. I'm not into that. I believe that miracles, signs, and wonders passed away in the first generation. Well, here you go. This is how the early church prayed. You know what? So you're saying, oh, yeah, you're right. The early church was the only miraculous church. I mean, is that really what people are saying? Show me where the church had an expiration date. Show me where these prayers expired. Show me where the Holy Ghost expired. You'll never see that in the Word. Glory to God. Yes, 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 yes. Yeah. So they were unified in praise, but they were unified in prayer. They desired the same things. Are you hungry for God's miracle moving hand? The miraculous power of God is not waiting. We're not waiting on God. He's waiting on our hunger. He's waiting on our boldness. He's waiting on our desire. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. I mean, what if everybody in this room, from pulpit to the back of the wall, from the sidewall to sidewall, from corner to corner of this room, hungered and desired and prayed out, God, stretch forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders would be done in the name of Jesus Christ.
Right.
That's when you'll see power. That's when you'll see it. But see, if you come to church selfish, you'll be thinking about your own stuff instead of the... See, look at what they're saying. Lord, stretch forth your hand to heal. They're saying, stretch forth your hand to heal others.
That's right.
Yeah, that signs and wonders would be done. To profit, the Bible says over there in 1 Corinthians 12:7 that the manifestations of the Spirit are given to everybody so that everyone would profit and benefit from them. When they cried out, they weren't crying out for themselves. They didn't cry out with their own purpose. They cried out for God's purpose. The church comes to church so selfish. My stuff, I need this, I need that, I need this. Well, just get in with God.
Yeah.
Cry out for somebody else.
That's it. Yes.
Desire that this atmosphere is saturated with his power, that people would be blessed.
Yeah.
that the world would see what God is doing in this hour. But if we come to church, me, 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 me. Listen, if you're the biggest one on your radar, then you're going to miss it. Because the church comes selfish. Yeah. Watch. In verse 31, it says, when they had prayed, the place was shaken. And notice they received a fresh filling of the Holy Ghost. Yes, there is an initial filling of the Spirit. There's an initial filling, but notice there's a fresh filling.
Amen.
Yep, the Bible says over there, what is it, Ephesians 5, 18, 19, be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be being filled.
That's right.
The Greek says, but have a continual filling of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Notice they were refilled, refreshed. Now look what happened. Now, if I haven't made you mad yet today, I'm going to make you mad right now. Because if there's any religious-minded people, you know, they get upset, well, we're going to find you out right now. Glory to God. Now look at verse 32, and. So this is in conjunction of what they just prayed. God, stretch forth your hand to heal. We're unified. So we believe the same thing in terms of healing, that signs and wonders be done in the name of Jesus. We're on the same page with miracles. Yep. We're unified in healing. We're unified in miracles. Look at the next thing they were unified in. Money. He said the dirty M word from the pulpit in church. Yep. Yeah. And the multitude of them that believed. Now, this is a big multitude. There's hundreds of people there. Notice what they were just saying is considered faith. They believed. Why? Lord, give your servants boldness, stretch forth your hand to heal, signs and wonders. Yeah, that is the agreement that they had in their midst. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. This is unity. Remember what I said? One heart, one mind, one purpose. They came together. They believed the same things. They contended for the same things. They all rejoiced together. They praised together. Now watch this. They were of one heart, one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things. That means any of the things. Neither said any of them that anything of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Oh my goodness, the first church was filled with communism. No, not exactly. The multitude of them that believed were of one heart, one soul, and they said, anything that I possess is not my own. Oh my goodness, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. This is where the church gets mad and upset. Listen, my personal finances aren't mine. When God speaks to me about participating in an offering, you know, above my tithes and offerings, something, you know, special. Listen, when he speaks to me, it's because it's not mine anyhow.
That's right.
I am a steward. Yeah. And I view what I possess as belonging not to just me individually, but I also view it as resources for the house of God.
Amen.
Like Dr. Dufresne always said, if my house needs carpet and God's house needs carpet, guess whose house is getting the carpet? God's house is getting the carpet. Amen. The needs of this house comes before the needs of my house. Glory to God. Just ask my furniture. Praise the Lord. There are several times we have gone to purchase new furniture or something. Nah, there's a gift there. You know, that's just how it just seems like it comes up with the Lord, you know, because none of the things which I possess are my own. Well, you're all amen and big a minute ago. Oh, praise the Lord. Yeah, we can all praise together. We can all believe for the miraculous together. But do we all give together? The local church is not in unity when not all the local church tithes. It's a shame. Now, what does the statistics tell us that anywhere between 8 and 12% of all Christians actually tithe? So somewhere around 90% of all of America's Christians do not tithe. Well, that probably explains why 90% or more of America's churches have gone cold and powerless. Well, we praise together. We lift our hands together. We'll even dance together. We'll all run together. We'll contend for healing together, for the miraculous together. But do we all tithe together? Do we give together? Oh, praise the Lord. I told you I'd find someone to make mad. Pastor, I just wanted a nice little homily. I wanted to come in here and just be told everything I'm doing is right and good. Well, go watch some Christian television or something. You know, because all you'll be told is, you know, you're under grace and everything is so good and you never missed it and there's no correction and all that stuff. Listen, you want lollipop Christianity, go find it somewhere else. Because there's plenty of lollipop Christianity. It's just always as sweet. That's not the early church. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Oh, my goodness. Yep. And the multitude of them believed were of one heart, one soul. Neither said any of them that any of the things they possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power, verse 33, and with great power, and with great power. They praised together. They prayed together. They believed for healing together. They believed in the manifestations of the Spirit together. They tithed and gave together. Why don't we just read the rest of this chapter? If you're not mad yet, we're still going. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Great grace. That word grace means ability.
Yes, amen. Yes.
I know today in modern Christian teachings, grace means the license to sin. That's wrong. Grace is what gives you the power to repent from your sin. Grace is what gives you the opportunity to repent. Oh, my goodness. I can't believe anybody in their right mind would ever believe that a Christian needs not to repent. That is the most ridiculous, absurd, wrong, unscriptural take. That is the greatest perversion of God's gift that he ever did. I cannot imagine anyone would say that a Christian can sin and not have the need to repent. That's exactly what it is. You're right. It's crazy. It is beyond. It is a reprobate mind that would believe that. You don't ever have a license to sin. Listen, grace is the ability. God's grace and the mercy that he gave you, Jesus, should be such an overwhelming motivation not to want to sin. Whew. My goodness. Well, let's get off that. Let's swipe it clean over here first. With great power. Yeah. See, as soon as money wasn't an issue in that church, money wasn't a non-issue because no one talked about it. It was a non-issue because everyone was willing. See, there's a lot of Christians that they want great power in their life, but they aren't willing to give anything for it. This is why I wasn't planning on making the connection. Actually, I didn't until just now make the connection between the Erie offering and then in this piece of scripture.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But what an opportunity to have great power in your life. What an opportunity. Why? Because they had all things common. Listen, Lord, if there's something in my life that can be assistance to your plan, well, I don't care if it's financial, I don't care if it's serving, I don't care if it's my time. Amen. It's not mine. It's yours, Lord. With great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Look at verse 34. Neither was there any among them that lacked. Those rich churches. That rich church. That church at Jerusalem, they didn't lack anything. They're just a bunch of rich Christians over there. Amen. I'm not making it up. Neither was there any among them that lacked. Why? For as many as were possessors of lands or houses, gee whiz, sold them and brought the prices of the things which were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. I mean, when is the last time you ever heard a Christian sell a house to bring the proceeds to their local church? Don't hear much of that anymore. Lands. And yet people think, oh my goodness. I don't even want to get into this because it could just, I could just say some things that are, I mean, will genuinely infuriate people. I'm tempted. Because it is absolutely ridiculous how the church has bought into the thoughts of the devil and have allowed money to become a central thought, to the point where they say, as soon as the church says, we're planting a new church, we need funds, let's go. That's basically what I said today. Let's go as a church family, let's go. But if you're sitting there thinking, oh my goodness, I'm going to have to give up something, I wasn't planning on this, I didn't, you know, budget for that, and I might have to, you know, set aside something that I wanted, a trip or a vacation or something, if I'm going to do that, you know, well, then you won't be able to claim verse 34. Right. Neither was there any of them among them that lacked. Yeah. Here they were giving great possessions. Yeah. And the Bible says, but they never lacked a thing. Right. That almost seems like a paradox. Say, that church is just all about money. No, that's just it. The early church wasn't about money at all. Right. And the people were freely giving. Glory to God. Yep. I mean, look at verse 35. And they laid down the prices. They bought, they sold lands and possessions, houses and such, and brought the money and laid it down at the apostles' feet, or gave it, and you could say it this way, they gave it in an offering. Wow. You don't want me to start reading in chapter 5, do you? Should we just real quick? But a certain man, chapter 5, verse 1, named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. Well, that was a nice thing to do. Okay, it started with a good intention, didn't it? But they kept back part of the price. Uh-oh. His wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Well, that almost sounds like a nice thing that they did. They sold something and bought they brought part of it. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and keep back part of the price of the land? You imagine if Peter the Apostle could be on Christian TV today? You imagine if someone said that? Now, we have to start right here and remember, Peter is not saying that you had to give all of it. No man of God should ever stand in front of any of God's people and say, God is requiring you to sell everything and give to God. Right. No, no, no. That's not what happened here. Watch what Peter says. While it remained, or while you still owned it, was it not your own? He said, listen, you sold that possession. You had that land or whatever it was. That was yours. And when you had the money of it, it was still yours. It was in your power to do what you wanted to do with it. But see, now read the rest. And after it was sold, was it not in thy own power? See, God was, you know, telling them through Peter, listen, you didn't have to do that. It wasn't the fact that you, you know, only gave part of it that was the problem. It was why they gave it. Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. It wasn't about the money that was a problem for Ananias and Sapphira. Okay, now you do know what happens next, right? What happens after Peter rebukes Ananias? He drops dead. Listen, it is a dangerous thing to have a wrong heart about money with God.
Yes.
Now, I did not say it's a dangerous thing not to decide not to give any, you know. I mean, we all should tithe. It's dangerous not to tithe. You know, it's dangerous, you know, not to give what belongs to God. But in terms of a special offering, it's not the refusal to participate is not the dangerous part. But it's to what Ananias and Sapphira did is that they used a part of that money. They lied and said it was all of it. And they tried to bolster their appearance to the church. They wanted to gain influence and notoriety within the church through their big gift. They sold the land. They took half of that money or a part of it. And they came and said, this is all of the money. Look how great it is. They tried to use their giving to increase their popularity and influence within the church. Listen, if you give a huge amount of money to the Erie Church, are we going to give you a special seat with your nameplate on the back of it? Nope. If you gave a big offering to the Erie Church start here, are we going to give you a place on the church board? Nope. Are we going to necessarily give you a place to be a teacher in the Sunday school? No. Are you going to be asked to come up and sing a special, a solo in the worship team? No. Is it going to give you any special favor or popularity in the church? No. I had someone come to this church that was a millionaire that tried to do that. He didn't last long here.
Right.
And he was giving a very significant amount every week, but he started to want special favors.
Yeah.
I told him, I said, we don't give special favors here.
No.
He wanted to be on the church board. I said, we don't allow you on the church board for doing that.
Right.
Well, you know, we want to change this. I want to change the parking lot. And I'm not changing the parking lot for you.
Yeah.
He wanted special favors. You know that man was dead within the next 3 or 4 months?
Yes, he was. That's right.
He died. And I tried to help him.
Yeah.
You don't mess around trying to gain influence. Are we going to parade you up here because you were the biggest giver? Or, listen, just because you gave the greatest amount doesn't mean you gave the greatest sacrifice.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? The widow that gave 2 pennies in Luke 21, Jesus said she gave more than the rest of them combined because it was a matter of sacrifice. That was all she had. The other rich people, they were just dumping it in because they had surplus. Listen, I would never do this. Can we talk just real candidly? Because we're on this subject. Because people allow money to be an issue in their heart with God. And this is why they're not seeing great power. It's not because they don't give everything. It's because what they do give, they try to expect certain favors or something as a matter of. Listen, the early church, their heart was so right with God. God, whatever I have to give that can be a blessing that you want me to give, I'll give it. Just make your heart open to God. Well, what was I going to tell you? I was going to tell you a story. Yeah. Listen, we were going to, you know, talk just very plainly as a church family. I don't hold anything. There's no information I withhold from you. You know, being that this church was financed, half of it, you know, $1.5 million of it was financed. We raised the other $1.5 million. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we're more than halfway paid off on this building. Praise the Lord. You know that as a pastor, I don't ever go in and look at who's giving what. I've never asked our financial person at this church to ever, hey, tell me what so-and-so gives. Tell me, you know what, because you know why? Because I don't want that in the back of my head when I go to help you. Because I don't do special favors for someone that has given more or less. It's because you don't know the level of sacrifice in their giving. Okay? So I don't do that. I've never done that. But when this church required the financing and also the refinancing of last year, the bank requires a top 10 or top 20 list of our number one givers. And so I was just required. Again, I didn't know the amounts. I didn't know any of the amounts or anything. But I was just given a list, and I was, I had it in the package of information because I'm legally responsible to give that information to the bank.
Yes.
Something, I didn't give out your personal information, you know, so-and-so, but we had to include the names of our top givers. And so when I did that, you know, of course, I happened to see it, you know, and I saw the top 10 list there. And I'll tell you what, I'm just going to speak very, very plainly right now. Are you ready for this? I was shocked because you would think that the people with the higher incomes are given the most. They're not. It is the people that are being faithful week in, week out, that are being a blessing to God. You know, I mean, folks that just because I've known them over the years and stuff, you know generally where they are in their income range, and it's amazing the level of sacrifice people are giving. Even they're not making six-figure salaries. They're just being faithful in their tithes and offerings every week, and because of that, they are outgiving people that have five or six times the amount of income. That's right. And I, you know, can we speak? Say, boy, if you're visiting today, God bless you. You're just getting right to it. We have no secrets here. We just preach the word. I want to be as transparent as possible. I looked at that list, and of course, just like you would, what would be the, if you were handed a list, what would be the first thing you'd look for? Your name. Wouldn't you look for your name? Of course, honestly, it was the first thing I looked for. I'm like, where am I? Because I know what I make and my family's income and so on. And I looked down at the list, and guess where I was? I was not one, but I was two. I looked at that, and I said, what? I'm the second highest giver in this church? Listen, there is no way with my income, I am the second top highest earner in this place. There's no way. No way! I'm even close to that. And I saw my name second on the list. And I saw that, and at one moment I started to rejoice. Oh, glory to God. And then I started to not rejoice, because I know people somewhere are robbing God. Folks, you know, regardless of where you are, boy, I tell you what, we're moving into an interesting, interesting place. But that should not be. We're the pastor. Now, I like to lead the way. I like to lead an example. But someone somewhere has a wrong heart with money, with God. Because there's no way a pastor, which my salary, I'm not complaining about my salary, but my, you know, we're a single income family. Okay, I'm blessed, I'm fine. Praise the Lord, doing good, okay? But there's no way with that income that I should be second. No, absolutely no way. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, Pastor Tim, thank you. Glory to God. While it remained, was it not in your power? No one would ever force our hands to give, right? While the Bible says, as a man purposes in his heart, so let him give. But if we're going to be a unified church that we all like to praise, we love to have the shout, and we love to believe for miracles, we love to believe for healing, notice what was also included. All right? We talk about three areas today: praise, prayer, and giving.
That's right.
A lack of any three in a church will destroy the unity. You want the blessing of Mount Zion? You want the anointing that is like the anointing, the precious ointment upon Aaron's beard? If we want to walk in an atmosphere, notice God said none of them lacked.
Right.
None of them lacked a single thing.
Amen.
And yet they were the most giving church that the earth has ever known.
Yes.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
There's no church on the history of this earth that I'm aware of since this time that ever gave what they did.
You're right.
And I can also say this, there's been no other church in any other time period in the earth that has ever seen the miracles, signs, and wonders like this church did. Giving is simply a reflection of your heart. Praying is a reflection of your heart. Praising is a reflection of your heart. All right, did you get something out of this today? Ooh, bang, boom, crash. I dare you. Outpraise me. Outpraise your pastor. Don't wait for your pastor to go for a run before you do. Go for a run. Jump, shout, praise. Outpraise me. Do it. Yep. Outpray me. I challenge you. This isn't just, well, pastor, you're a pastor, so you just pray a lot. That's just what you do. No, outpray me. I challenge you. Outpray me. And for those of you that you know you can, I dare you. Outgive me. Outgive me. Praise the Lord. I dare you.
Yeah, good. Come on, good.
Well, pastor's up there bragging on himself. No, I'm not.
Come on.
We're a family in this.
That's right. Absolutely.
All of us purpose together. I hope you got something good out of this. We're unified in praise.
Yes.
We're unified in prayer. We're unified in giving.
Yes.
We're not just the shouting, jumping church that we all know how to jump up and down together. We're also the church that knows how to pray the same things,
yes,
contend for the same things.
Yes. Yeah, right.
Glory to God. Yes. Give sacrificially.
Yes. Yeah, that's good.
Oh, I love you.
Yeah.
Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We glorify you. Father, thank you for this opportunity. We just speak candidly.